Surveyed the wondrous cross. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Continue with resurrection rejoicing by resurrection reflection. You may have experienced, like I have, you know, how there are a lot of people who are just fine thinking about God in a general sense. Oh, yeah. I believe in God, yeah. But when you mention the name Jesus Christ, right away you lose most of them. And then if you go a step further and speak about Jesus Christ as the one true God, well, you lose most all at that point. But on resurrection morning, Christ as God is where we are urged to reflect. To reflect just simply means to think more carefully about, to be more serious in your thinking. Once again, the words of the hymns that we just read, they encourage our thinking on this. As one of the lyrics says, and we just sung, on that old rugged cross, stained with blood, so divine. Did you catch those last two words? The deity of Christ is being said there, mentioned there. Another one. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. Philippians 2:8 says, He, this is Christ, second person of the Trinity, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Resurrection Sunday inspires reflection. You know, we just can't go about with the world where there's disinterested, unbelieving, and hateful men and women who say, he was just a man. He was just, maybe at best, he was a prophet. He was just a good teacher. No, 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 no. We must say, for example, with the Nicene Creed, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father. Begotten, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father, before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. This is Jesus Christ. When we say he is risen, this is who we are talking about. This is who hung and died on that cross. Another hymn says, 'Tis this Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis he. God hung on a tree under God's curse. It's Deuteronomy 21:23. Surely this concept, this idea, this reality, surely this is fitting, if not overwhelming, to be reflected upon this morning. You see, resurrection inspires reflection. Let us not show disrespect and ignorance by, you know, joyfully coming to Resurrection Sunday without first having stopped at Good Friday and to reflect upon the divine agony of that day. By the way, why is it Good Friday? We've already kind of referred to this. Why is it Good Friday? Because on that day, a solution was found. On that day, a solution to my sin and death was accepted. That makes that day a good day. It's Good Friday. Finally, the solution to death and sin was found and accepted. But we are reflecting upon the fact that Jesus Christ is resurrected. But let's go back to Good Friday for a moment. Do we think lightly of our sin? I mean, when we sin, is it a bad thing? Are some sins, you know, okay, sort of? Are they respectable sins? Are other sins, are those, you know, really bad ones that other people do? Do we think too lightly of our sins? Oh, it's not that bad. Certainly, we're not talking about evil stuff, right? Is that how we feel? We are kind of ignorant creatures. We might think too often that way, more than we think. But how can we have an estimate of the true nature of our sin? Where do we get that? We get it by reflecting upon the sacrifice that Christ was appointed to. You see, God the Father said, "This is what you must do if you are going to pay the penalty for death and sin, through death and sin and by sin." So once again, the lyrics help us out here. Bearing shame and scoffing. That's what Jesus did. Rude scoffing. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, he stood. Lifted up. Crucified, was he to die till his last breath? I mean, they didn't get to come down off the cross. They stayed there till they were dead. Jesus hung there till he was dead. So lifted up, was he to die? See from his head, his hands, his feet. Love flowed mingled down. Sorrow and love flowed, mingled down. Sorry. in the old rugged cross, stained once again with blood, divine blood. Yes, we do kind of, in a way, we know what physical pain feels like. We can relate in a tiny, tiny, tiny way the physical suffering that Jesus Christ may have went through. Because we get physical suffering, but sometimes we overlook emotional suffering. This was a type of suffering that Jesus was stricken with. This is the type of suffering that we might even be able to relate to even more, though. Because we are emotional beings, and we know when our feelings have been hurt. We know what it's like to be embarrassed, to be made fun of, to be mocked, maybe. We can realize that a little bit as well. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He was despised and forsaken." There's a hymn, we haven't sung it today, but the lyrics of it are good to look at. It's called "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." And those are words right out of Isaiah 53:4, that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Here are the words of verse 3 of this song. "Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his?" You know, when I say that maybe we can relate a little bit emotionally to Christ and what he went through as he experienced, for example, grief right here. Our emotions our experience is extremely limited. When he experienced this grief like his, it was infinite. He drained the cup dry of grief. And so we understand that his grief was so much more, and yet he grieved. Was there ever a grief like his? Then it goes on, "Friends, through fear, his cause disowned." He had friends. They walked with him. They talked with him. They loved him. But then they didn't want to be associated with him for fear of being accounted with him. They left him. They abandoned him. They deserted him. How that must have felt. "Foes insulting his distress. They mocked him. They stripped his clothes off and put on a fake robe of an earthly king, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they knelt before him and they mocked him, King of the Jews. They beat him and they spit on him. They tore his beard out. They insulted him." And remember who he is. He's not just a guy. Okay? He's not just a man. This is God that we're talking about. It goes on. "Many hands were raised to wound him, but none would interpose to save him." He had no one helping him in the end. But the awful stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. This is referring to how, you know, every friend had left him, but then that moment came when even his father had to turn his face away as Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. And all of this physical, emotional pain and suffering and sorrow was for us. So where do we go to see the true nature of our sin? Where is there a clear view of it? What is the right estimate of its darkness and evil? Well, it's found in resurrection reflection. It's found as we see the sacrifice that God appointed to Christ, the Son of God, before there could be a resurrection. He alone went to the cross to endure the suffering. He alone exhausted sin's bitter hatred so as to defeat sin and death and become the savior of sinners. our sin did all of that. Sin is a horrible thing. It is not light. We must mark this. We must reflect upon this. Jesus went through all of that. But now, as we continue our reflection, as we are still thinking of our resurrection, rejoicing, we can say, even though Jesus Christ is risen indeed for us.
Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing 105, He is the Lord. I like this verse, Philippians 2:13. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's what we'll do. He is Lord. Save 220 for just the end song. So,
well, we move now to resurrection reception. We've rejoiced in the resurrection. We've seen the value of reflecting on the resurrection. So now let's talk about rightly responding to the resurrection. Again, what do we do with this? You know, Jesus, his resurrection from the dead was, if I can say it this way, an achievement that forever separates him from any other religious leader who has ever been or who will ever live. No other religious leader has even come close down through history to have prophesied his own death and resurrection and then accomplish it. No one's ever done that. Jesus has ever come close. He's utterly, utterly unique in the history of the world. Where did he prophesy his own death and resurrection? Mark 8:31 is where. In other places it says this: he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. You know, once again, man willfully and disobediently throws Jesus in with all the others. He's just another man. But we reject this. And we acknowledge that resurrection reception, it has nothing to do with following another man or another woman and their best-selling book or their great podcast. It's nothing to do with following man's ideas or man's opinions. It has nothing to do with fixing up our life with those opinions and getting all of our needs met with those opinions. Resurrection reception has nothing to do with getting the problems you have fixed. Resurrection reception is not about getting all your needs met. We've already mentioned some of this, I realize, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, we hear, do you have a rocky marriage? Christ can become your marriage counselor. He can fix that for you. Problems with your finances? Jesus can become your banker, your accountant. Problems with health? Jesus can be your healer, your doctor. You got problems? Jesus can fix it. No, that's not who he is. We've already seen. This is God. We can't start with our needs. The right place to start is not there. The right place to start is not your problems. The right place to start is always with, and we've talked about this, your sin. There's a place to start. Your sin is the problem that you are facing. It is the first and foremost problem that you are facing. Start with your sin, and you know what? Then we can get to repentance. Get to repentance, and then from there, we can get to Christ. And we can get to his life, and his death, and his burial, and finally, his resurrection. Christ is not your fixer, as we've just sung. He is your Lord. He is Lord, risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow because he is Lord. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, resurrection reception. Well, in other words, our response to resurrection kind of means really just one thing. We could say it like this: bow your knee. Get on your knees before Jesus Christ the Lord, for he is the King of heaven and earth. He is the conqueror of sin and death. Resurrection reception is about submitting your life to the will of God. It is about abandoning yourself. It is about abandoning your will and doing whatever he says from now on. It is no longer you who live now, but it is Christ who lives in you. And you will live to do his will. This is the right response to resurrection morning. It is not the idea of, well, if I, you know, accept Jesus and invite him in, everything's going to go so good for me. Yeah, I'm good for that. I'll raise my hand. I see that hand in the back row. Very good. It is not that. It is bowing our knee before the Lord. And it's okay to do that. Why would I bow my knee? Well, isn't that clear? Isn't that evident? that he alone is the lover of your soul. No one else has gone to the cross for you. No one else has gone into the grave for you. No one else has come up out of the grave for you. He alone is the lover of your soul. You don't even love yourself as much as he does. You don't even know what your needs are like he knows what your needs are. He is the lover of your soul. Proof of this, again, is his resurrection from the dead. He did this out of love for you. The resurrection of Christ is out of love for you. He is the lover of your soul. So, resurrection reception, it's not about submitting a list to God and say, you know what, here are my needs. I was told you're the guy that would fix them. And so here I am, here's my needs. And you know, by the way, could you hurry? Because, you know, I kind of got stuff to do. Sometimes that's the good news that is preached. And unfortunately, the good news that is accepted. But this is not Christianity. This is not rejoicing in the risen King. This is not reflecting upon who Jesus Christ truly is and what it was he suffered. And this is not receiving Christ. This is not the right response to Christ. The right response is that he is Lord. I bow my knee before him, surrendering to his will, leaving mine behind me. You know, our God wants something so much higher than, will you please meet my needs? He's after so much more from us. He wants our life, literally, our life redeemed. He wants our trust to be absolute, to trust him no matter what he says through his word, to believe it and to obey it. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to look at him and say, you are my Lord, you are my Father. Can I just stay here for a while? You want me to go and do something? Okay, I will, but you'll come with me, right? Yes, I'll come with you. Yeah, yes, Lord, I love you. It's a love relationship. He's after your fellowship. But it begins by bowing your knee. Because he is Lord. So, at the end here, you know, do you want an invitation? It seems like we should give an invitation. Don't normally do that. Well, God gives an invitation to respond to him. Let me read an invitation that I feel is appropriate for this morning. Remember Thomas, how Jesus came to him with love, not condemnation, and said, "Don't, what are you doing, Thomas? Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Trust me. Trust my words. Trust my actions. Trust the scars in my hands, the wound in my side. You can trust me, Thomas. Believe." Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, and verse 6 says this. Ho, it says, H-O, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Yes, come, buy milk and wine. Without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear me, and your soul shall live. Seek the Lord. The Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord and while he is near. Here is our invitation this morning. Here is the right response to resurrection. This is resurrection reception. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We bow our knee before him. Call him Lord. Yield and surrender our lives to him. Do this, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we've attempted to, by your grace, rejoice in the fact of your resurrection this morning. We've attempted to reflect upon what happened on Good Friday. And we've desired to respond correctly on this Resurrection Sunday, that you are King and Lord. All we can do is humble ourselves and give our lives away to you. We do this without fear. Of rejection. And just become lost in the love and wonder that you have done all of this for us. We thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name. Okay, Steve, you're up.